If you want to open up your Bibles, please, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5. Continuing on with, again, looking at the Beatitudes that we'll be talking about here in a minute. So if you would, though, please stand with me as we read our scripture together, Matthew 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And for today, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Lord, again, we praise you, thank you for this time of hearing your word, your message that you have for us today. We ask you that as we remember the many different things some of you have done for us and remember what you've done for us today, Lord, we just pray that you just be with us as we hear your message. Open our eyes, open our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Of course, this weekend is Memorial Day. And Scott kind of touched this on in the class today, in Sunday school class. And it's kind of interesting to me that whenever sometimes, you know, the pastor's got a topic, you know, that he's going to be talking about, and the Sunday school teacher or whatever has no idea really where I'm going or what I'm going to be talking about and just kind of blends in, even though it's a memorial, you kind of can think of it as. But actually, I do not have a Memorial Day message per se. But what I was going to talk about kind of went in with a little bit with Scott. And that is true that if you look around, it seems more and more our nation is forgetting Memorial Day. More and more we're forgetting July 4th. Or maybe we're not necessarily forgetting it, we're just changing what it means in so many people's opinions. For a lot of people, Memorial Day weekend has become just that, a time to get away from work. And we need time to get away from work. It's the end of the school year, so it's busyness with graduations and proms and just different things. But I think more and more we look at, and you can say it's the younger generation, or it's this one, or this situation, or it's because of this, or whatever. You know, it's never because of, when we see something declining, it's never because of just one thing. It's because of a lot of different things usually come together to cause that to happen. One of my favorite movies is No Country for Old Men. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Okay? Not that I'm old. Okay? But there's a line in there where two sheriffs are talking, and they're talking about just the different things that have changed through the years that they've been sheriff. Two old guys are just talking. And one sheriff says, "It's not the one thing," when they were talking about the decline of society in their minds. It's not just one thing. It's this all coming together. And I think one of the reasons that we have to understand or maybe think about as far as why it seems like the celebration or recognition of Memorial Day is taking place in our minds is because maybe in some way we as adults have not stressed it enough to the younger generation. Maybe we've tried. I'm not saying it's on everybody. I'm just saying maybe it just hasn't been there. Jesus, you know, and you go back to the Old Testament, and God told them, celebrate the different things. Remember what took place when they crossed through the Red Sea. Remember when they crossed the Jordan. You know, set up the memorials, basically, is what God was telling the people. Tell your young people about it. And we see what took place. Well, they may have told them the stories about it, but not maybe the significance or the deeper meanings behind it. It became just, well, this is what we do, but nobody really truly explained why they did it. I think in a lot of ways that's where the church, I'm talking about the church worldwide, why we see so much declining in our faith is because so many times we are doing things, but we're not explaining things, especially to new believers. You know, we've been talking about the Beatitudes. We've been talking about, basically, we're talking about discipleship. So we're just going to do a quick review. Who was it that Jesus, I got to move this so I can see you people or so I don't stumble over it. Who was it that Jesus was talking to when he did the Sermon on the Mount? the disciples, the followers. Remember, he had been with large crowds, and he broke away from the crowds and the disciples, a couple other followers. I'm not saying there was nobody else there, but the message of the Beatitudes and what followed that were focused towards the disciples, okay, towards his followers. And we've been talking about the Beatitudes, of course, starting off with looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We have seen that these Beatitudes are not for our choosing. And what I mean by that is they are not set up to say, well, I like this one, so I'll follow this one. I like the one about mercy. I like this one here. They're all set up for us to follow each and every one. Each Beatitude there, Jesus is saying, for us to be like that, to be in the attitude of Christ. Jesus calls us to make these Beatitudes a part of a lot of our life so that we will have a deeper relationship with him. We talked about that. And also, well, the second reason that we've been centering or saying about the Beatitudes, about knowing the Beatitudes and how to have that attitude. What was the second reason? Reaching out to the lost. Having compassion on those that don't know Christ. We've been talking about how, you know, have a different mindset when we see somebody, instead of just saying, well, they have an addiction or whatever, but trying to understand where that person came from, what that person's going through in their life, instead of just saying, you know, what's tempting for us to say. And today we're looking at the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart. And what's it say there? For they will what? See God. We hear a lot today about heart health, okay? And it's a good reason that we hear about this, that we should be striving for a healthy heart. Nearly 1 million people will die because of heart disease. In most cases, or at least many cases, it may could have been prevented. And I'm not up here to talk about cardiovascular or whatever. It's just something that going on with what we're going to be talking about. Sometimes it could have been avoided or at least lessened if we would just made certain changes in our lifestyle. You know, exercise a little more. And I'm not saying this just because I'm exercising a lot. I'm just kidding. This is something I should have been doing a long time ago more. But spiritually, there's heart disease as well. And this disease, if not cured, could render a person spiritually dead for eternity. Not just, you know, a situation or a health situation short term, but it could have an eternal effect on someone. It causes people to become unresponsive to God's will, causes people to be deaf to his calling or to his word, to ignore, to forget what God has done, what he's called us to be. They may be going through the actions of serving in a church, or coming to church on every Sunday morning, and even involved in doing a lot of things for the church. But spiritually speaking, they're dead. And that may sound harsh, but sometimes we just got to call it what it is. I mentioned the other day at Bible study, and I think I was even talking to Mom and Dad a little bit about it the other day. There was a gentleman from the church where I grew up in. Okay, his name was Pete was his name. Pete came to church a lot. Okay, he was there for every work day. He played his violin, especially on special occasions. Okay, and I mean, he was just there. And I can remember the day him telling the pastor, he said, I'll be here when we have a work day. I'll play for specials for you or whatever. I'll do whatever. But don't ever try to convert me or I'm gone. You can preach whatever you want, but don't come to me personally trying to get me to accept Christ as Savior, or I'll leave. Now, I don't know if the pastor ever did try it, you know, after that. That's between them two. But I'm just saying there's a lot of people that kind of maybe not that drastic of an attitude, but are going to church. And I'm not saying here, I'm not pointing fingers, but there's a lot of people who are going to church, going through the motions, and not truly having a heart for Christ. There's a lot of people going through motions. Others are spiritually dead. They don't even realize it. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And it wasn't the fact that they weren't striving to do works, but they never knew Christ, or Christ never knew them, because they never truly accepted him as Savior, or accepted him for what he's done on the cross for their salvation. Many people are going through the motions of, I've got to do work, I've got to stay busy in church, do this and this to try to get my salvation. And they're missing the message. And a lot of reasons why they're missing the message, I'm here again, is because maybe we're not driving it home enough. I read a thing this past week about churches that are truly preaching a hard line. That's the wrong word. But truly preaching the gospel of Christ. I mean, truly preaching the gospel. I know the churches surveyed, you would be surprised that nearly 50% said, we don't do that. We talk about, you know, God making us feel good and stuff like that, but we don't talk about the stuff that will touch people's toes, if you want to put it that way, or truly drive people to salvation. We don't really believe in doing that. In our Beatitude today, we're looking at having a pure heart. Jesus explains that spiritual heart disease can be avoided with a pure heart. And looking at this Beatitude today, we're going to be asking ourselves three questions. Who are the pure in heart? How will they see God? And how are they blessed? So our first one, who are the pure in heart? You should not have to fill anything on the blank on that one, just by the way, in case you're looking for a blank. It's not there. Okay? Who are the pure in heart? The word pure is used in Scripture, depending on your version, and from the Old Testament and New Testament, 216 times at least. Okay, so depending on your version, 216 times. In the New Testament, again, depending on the version, it's used at least 28 times. We see the word for pure being used to describe the type of sacrifices, such as back in the Old Testament, the type of sacrifices they were supposed to bring. What type of sacrifice were they supposed to bring in the Old Testament to God? A pure one, right? Okay, it had to be no blemish on it, especially the atonement. You know, all of them were supposed to be that, but no blemish on it. Supposed to be the top of the line. Okay, whether, you know, some sacrifices we mentioned here a couple weeks ago about could be grains and stuff, but it's all supposed to be top of the line. Not the stuff that, well, this little, he's a straggler, or what's that other word we call him, the little ones, a runt. You know, it couldn't even, not the runts or anything like that. It's supposed to be the top of our, of the herd that we have, or the flock that we have, or the animals that we have. Are they some kind of, sometimes we may ask ourselves, what does being a perfect, or someone pure in heart mean? Who are these people who are pure in heart? Are they somebody that never does anything wrong? Or are they some type of a saint that has risen above the world in some way? Are they some kind of perfect human who has never sinned? Has anybody here never sinned? Has anybody here ever known anybody that sinned? Never sinned, I should say. Okay? Well, who was Jesus talking about then when he said those words to his followers about the pure in heart? Well, who were the disciples? What were some of the occupations that they did? Fishermen. What was Matthew? Tax collector. Matthew was more than just a sinner. He was considered a traitor to the nation of Israel. And yet Jesus chose him to be a disciple. So who were they? Just simply everyday normal people who sinned, who messed up, who had come to Christ and put their faith in him. That's who he's calling the pure in heart. Those who have come to Christ. The pure in heart are those who are cleansed. That's when one of your lines there. The pure in heart are those who are cleansed. Ezekiel 36:26 says, and God is speaking here, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. An initial cleansing, the first step of cleansing, is when a person commits his or her life to Christ. When they come and ask for forgiveness and ask for his salvation. That's the initial part of purity. Purity cannot be produced by any human will. In other words, we can't make ourselves pure no matter how hard we may try. When Jesus said these words, the pure in heart, he wasn't saying, try to make your heart pure. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying, when I make you pure, you're going to get to see God. To be saved, however, is just the beginning. It's just the first step. A pure heart is not the result of a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It is produced by our daily confession of our sin. Now, I'm not talking about every day asking for forgiveness of sin, for salvation. I truly believe that once we come to ask Christ for salvation, that salvation is ours every day. But I also believe that as believers, we still sin. And we have to come to Christ, and we may not lose our salvation in the way that we often talk or think about it, which will be another sermon topic for another day, but we can damage that daily relationship of walking with Christ when we truly each day don't confess our sinful nature to him and ask for his help. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, like Jesus, who is John talking to or writing to when he wrote that letter? He wrote it to believers. It was not, you know, a group of people who were not saved. It was to believers, people who had come to ask Christ for forgiveness already. Okay? And he's telling them, hey, even as believers, we sin. We mess up. And if we say, he goes on to say there in another part of that verse or that scripture, if we say we do not sin, then we make ourselves a liar. And we even make Christ a liar if we claim that we have no sin. He said, but we sin. But when we come to him and ask for forgiveness, that's how we make or bring ourselves a deeper, pure heart. We have that initial cleansing when we ask Christ for forgiveness. And it has to start that way. We cannot get a pure heart if we don't come to him first at some point and say, I need you as my Savior, and confess our sins to him and ask for forgiveness. We can't even get to the next step if we do not do that. We have to understand that. But it also goes on from there and says, okay, and each and every day we need to come to him and ask for forgiveness the way we messed up yesterday or already this morning. You know, there's a saying, you know, that Lord, a person laying there or is saying his morning prayers. Lord, thank you. Thank you for keeping me from sin. Thank you for this. And thank you that I haven't sinned against you today. Thank you I haven't used any swear words. Now I'm about to get out of bed this morning, so be with me. Okay? When we confess our sins, Christ is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins because of what he's done for us on the cross. And then he purifies us. The pure in heart are those who have one goal in life. That's a B. The pure in heart are those who have one goal in life. How many times have we been told or have we heard we need to set goals, plural, goals in our life where we want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 6 months, 20 years? How many times have we heard that in businesses? Well, you can raise your hands, guys. It's okay. All right, we've all heard that. So, you know, to set goals, as in plural. Many of us have gone target shooting. Who's ever gone target shooting here? Okay? We all know that the further away the target is, what? The more difficult it is to hit your target, correct? Okay? You have a goal to hit the target. At least I hope that's what the goal of target shooting is. But a lot of other things have to be looked at too, right? There's a lot of things that play in the that come into play. For instance, if you're trying to make a shot that's a mile away, anybody here ever done it? I didn't think so. You've made a shot a mile away. That's pretty good. I will say, because there's a lot of things that come in the factor there. A lot of things. Okay? Even the humidity, let alone the wind, your heartbeat, the way you're breathing. There's so many different things that come into play to try to make that long of a shot. But you have one goal, to hit the target. There's a lot of different things we need to look around at, but there's that one goal to hit that target. I once had a person describe what was to be like to be considered when trying to a target a mile away. And like I said, so many different things come into play on that. There's a lot of things to consider in our walk with Christ. There's a lot of things to consider. Prayer time, Bible study time, personal Bible study time, worshiping with others, worshiping on our own. There's so many different things to focus on or to look at when in our walk with Christ. But our focus should be on one, or our goal is one thing: keeping our heart pure. That's our goal. There may be a lot of different ways or things that play into that, but the goal is to have a pure heart. So we come to Him for salvation, and then we let Him work within us. Purity actually means singleness of mind, to be guided by one purpose. That's what purity actually means. A singleness of mind. Okay, one goal. Now, I'm not saying that we can't have a lot of different goals in life. You know, we're things we would like to do here, or that bucket list and stuff like that. But the goal needs to be our pure heart in walking with Christ. The pure in heart are those who have clean thoughts. The pure in heart are those who have clean thoughts. The Mississippi River, I'm sure you've all heard of it, right? It's the largest river in the United States. As it nears the Gulf of Mexico, it stretches to over a mile in width. But to understand the river, you actually have to go where it starts. Anybody know where it starts? Where does it start at? Minnesota. Do you know where we're at in Minnesota?
About an hour from where I go.
From an hour from here you go. Well, that means that you're about an hour from Lake Itasca. Okay, that's in case you didn't know that. Okay. In north central Minnesota. Anybody have any idea how deep the Mississippi River is at that point? It's less than 2 feet. Yep, it's shallow. Just as a must visit the beginning of the, just as we need to visit the beginning of the Mississippi River to kind of understand it. You know, you go from this to this when you're doing that. We need to look deeply into the source of morality to unlock the secret of a pure heart. That small brook that feeds the noble life that bubbles forth from hidden thoughts within a person's heart. In other words, what we have here is going to be displayed around us. Proverbs 23:7 says, talks about what a person thinks about in their heart is what the person is. Not what we want to be, but not what we are. Many people make professions about faith, but is what they truly feel in their heart is what makes the person pure. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about what we take in, we will eventually work out. It'll be in our actions. You know, what's in our heart will be displayed eventually. So if we're going through the motions, eventually that's going to play out. Now, I'm not talking about when we sin once in a while, but I'm talking about our lifestyles. When we're truly trying to hide something from something, it will eventually work out. Not in a good way. Work out is what I meant. It is what we focus our thoughts on, not what we profess, that creates a pure heart. Because our thoughts sometimes can be a little bit different than what we confess to people or even to God. How many here have ever tried to take and hide something from God? Come on, let's be honest. Okay? We even think, you know, okay, if I keep it from so-and-so or whatever, or as a kid, you know, as long as I don't let mom and dad find, oh, my mom and dad are here. Okay? As long as I don't keep it from mom and dad, or as long as they don't find out, ultimately I'm trying to keep it from the God at the same time when you think about it, when we're trying to hide stuff. And God says that even, or David said that even when we go into the deepest cave, the light of God is there. Even if we're trying to hide from him or trying to hide from somebody that, you know, is there. We can go into a cave to try to hide and for safety from somebody, right? David did that. But he also at times tried to hide spiritually from God. And it didn't work out so well from him or for him. So it's what our thoughts are about. So how will they see God? How will they see God? Oh, I got lots of time yet. Let's see, usually we're out here at 11:30, it's only 5 till. Okay, nobody threw a hymnal. Okay. Okay, how will they see God? This beatitude is clear. Those are who are pure in heart will what? Will see God. How? How? The pure in heart will see God by experiencing his reality. It's not just about physical eyes, but we will see God by by experiencing his reality. During his earthly ministry, multitudes of people saw Jesus with their physical eyes, but yet missed his message. A lot of people saw Jesus with their physical eyes, but missed his message. Excuse me, they saw nothing spiritually. They were completely unaware of what God was trying to do for them. To see God is to experience God and become sure of him. Purity removes obstacles that blur or distort his image to us spiritually. They're completely unaware, we can become completely unaware of different things if we don't focus on Christ. So the pure in heart, number one there, the pure in heart will see God by meeting the requirements. I mean, there's requirements that we got to do in this walk with Christ. There's things that we got to do. This beatitude seems to teach to see God that you have to be pure in heart. That is to be cleansed from sin, as we said. Have God's glorification as your aim, as we said. Think clean thoughts, as we said. All this is possible only daily when we daily commit ourselves to Christ. It means every day when we get up, we should be saying something like, I'm not saying it's God, but Lord, today I'm committing myself all over again to you like I did yesterday. You think about it. A sports person, let's say football, okay? They play football every Sunday, okay? Or Thursday or Monday or whenever they play. When do they practice? The rest of the days, right? Do they only commit themselves on the day that they actually play the game? Do they only commit themselves on the day that they might see the coach? No, there's a lot of work through the off season that they got to be doing. It's their life, if you want to put it like, look at it like that. They got to work out through the off season, you know, or whatever. It's the same thing with us. Each and every day, we got to be determined that we're going to walk with Christ. We're going to let him work within us. The pure in heart will see God by believing that this experience is available to everyone. It's available to all. Remember the story about the woman who had the bleeding problem? Okay? Anybody remember how long it had been? 12 years. 12 years. And in those 12 years, most of society probably, we're not told for sure, but probably turned their backs on her because of her situation. We are told that she went to many doctors and even gave up her entire fortune or money and never got anything from the doctor, any relief. Okay? Now, my point is simply here that to society, she was considered an outcast, a lowlife, not worth it. Then one day she was determined to do what? Just simply touch Jesus' garment. Even just a small portion of it is what her goal was. Simply touch that small portion of Jesus' garment simply because she had faith that if she was able to do that, Jesus would heal her. This outcast in society, looked down upon, rebuked, lived alone, lost all of her money, probably had no job to make up for that money, had faith that Jesus would cleanse her. Not just that he could, but that he would. And what did he do? He did. The pure in heart are people who believe that what Jesus did on the cross makes us pure. That when we receive his forgiveness, we are made pure. When we believe that, we get it. The pure in heart are people who have tried all sorts of things to bring them happiness, fulfillment, but nothing worked. And at some point, they heard about Jesus, they believed in him, and Jesus made all the difference when he saved them. And that is open to each and every person, whoever they are or what they've done, no matter who they are. They are people who struggle with addictions, people who have murdered, people who have gone to church their entire life but never made a decision for Christ. But one day their eyes were truly opened into who Christ truly is, and they put their faith in him. That's who the pure in heart are. So how are the pure in heart blessed? How are they blessed? The pure in heart are blessed because they get to see, they get to experience God, and when they experience God through Christ, the following things happen in their life. We're going to go through these kind of fast, so be ready. You ready? Yes. Boy, you guys sound really energetic. Okay, they see themselves. First thing there, they see themselves. When Job saw God, he was able to see himself. Job said, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." That's in Job 42. When we see God, we are made painfully aware of our own mess ups, of our own sins. We commit them to the Lord in forgiveness, and purity becomes a reality. Okay? So how are the pure in heart and blessed? We see ourselves for who we truly are. Sometimes we got to look at ourselves what we truly are in order to get to the next step. Number two, or be there. They are transformed. So we see ourselves and then we are transformed. We are transformed. A view of God does more than just reveal our own sinfulness. It transforms us into the kind of people we want that God wants us to be. Our goal then becomes, what does God want me to be? What does God want me to do? Maybe it's what I've been striving for so much in life as far as job or something like that. Maybe it's something totally different. I think I've shared with you a couple times that when people first started coming up to me and say, you should be, think about going into ministry, I want nothing to do with it. My pastor when I was in high school said, I think you should look at the ministry. Don't want nothing to do with it. Like pastors, don't get me wrong. I want nothing to do with being a pastor. And then one day I called, God used a spiritual 2x4 and said, hey, it's time. Okay, and we'll get into more of that in another story. But we are transformed. They gain courage. They gain courage. It is said of Moses that he endured as though he saw God. And there's something about having this inner vision of God that provides courage and determination. You know, when you look at Moses, he made all sorts of excuses. Okay? But when he finally gave in, we see a different Moses. And as you see Moses growing in his relationship, you see courage building within Moses. I almost said within a Moses. That didn't make sense. But within Moses, we see his courage building. They become useful. They become useful. The person who has seen, experienced God is the most eager to serve him. Remember that man named Zacchaeus? Besides being a wee little man, what else do you remember of him? Okay, say it out loud so I can hear you. Tax collector. Okay, he was a tax collector. What happened after Jesus told him, "You get down here, I'm going to your house," and Zacchaeus came to know Christ? What took place? He went from being a cheat to repaying people the way he had cheated them. He went from not caring about the poor to giving money to the poor. A change took place in him. They became useful. Remember, Zacchaeus, like Matthew, was a traitor. Okay? People didn't care about him, except the fact that he was stealing their money. Okay? But he was no longer useful in the people's eyes to anybody around him. And now, when he came to Christ, he was useful to them because of reaching out to them and making up for what he'd done and also helping people. They impart a sense of God's presence. In other words, the pure in heart, people can see God working in us and through us. Acts 4:13 talks about how people who saw the disciples understood that they had truly been with Christ. Their words, their action, their heart reflected Christ to those around them. And it wasn't just the words that they were saying, it was the way that they cared for people around them. When Moses came down from the mountain after being in the presence of God, it said that he had a glow about him. Something within him had changed. In closing, this simple line, a person who is impure in heart will let the light of God's grace and mercy shine through. As that person's heart remains pure, it remains transparent to God's light. In other words, how are we blessed? God works in us and through us, and people see that. Because there's nothing like being blessed when you have something to do with leading them to Christ. Simply because they saw a change in us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for the way you make us pure in heart. We know we can't accomplish it on anything that we try to do. It's simply the way you work within us and us accepting you to be cleansed. And Lord, we pray again today that if there is someone here that's never taken that first step to have a pure heart, if someone's here today that's never asked for forgiveness of sin, Lord, we pray that they would make that promise before leaving here today, that they would come up to somebody, myself or Scott or anybody, and say, "Hey, I need to talk with somebody about accepting Jesus as my Savior. I need this pure heart that Jesus talks about." Lord, for the rest of us who have accepted you, we pray that you would help us each and every day to strive for that purity, to understand that we still mess up even as believers, but that we can still come to you and ask you for forgiveness, and we will be forgiven. And just let you work within us to help lead others to you. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. At this time, Sheila's going to come up and for our closing song. We're going to sing number 352, Victory in Jesus. So if you would, please stand with me. Victory in Jesus. This is one of my favorites. How about you? All right. 352. Precious blood's atoning. There
Jackson and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Let me hear ya. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory, the cleansing blood. Amen, everybody. Have a great day. God bless.